Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, that home of free speech, that home for the alt-Paul Boomerplex. What do you think of that, alt-Paul Boomerplex? And also, it is the place where you're going to... I have to ask for donations every time. I don't ask for donations for myself, but I do ask it for RBN because it costs a lot of money. Free speech ain't cheap. And also, I always say, whether you want to download the app and pay $2.99, that's $2.99 for the co-certified app, or you want to use the free version online. Either way, you get to live a kosher, non-kosher certified lifestyle. Did you know giraffes are kosher? So don't eat them. Don't eat them. And today we have with us, we have Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be on with you, and I've had a pretty busy day dealing with all kinds of issues in my own family and getting my car fixed and that kind of stuff, and dealing with, as well with this whole business of the Iowa caucus and Pete Buttigieg.
Were you the guy who was hacking into the app? Is that you?
Yeah, that was me. That was me.
And did Vladimir Putin put you up to it?
He put me up to it, and I'm really nervous now that I'm going to get caught.
Hey, what's the ruble-dollar exchange rate nowadays?
I wouldn't know. I just know that I got some cash that was left in a box behind my house, and it was in Russian rubles. And I'm really nervous because right now, folks, as we're just starting to get into the key stories on the big board, Sheila Jackson, Democrat of Texas.
Sheila Jackson Lee? Oh, my God. That's her, right? Sheila Jackson Lee?
Well, the RT is reporting her as Representative Sheila Jackson.
Yeah, we know who she is.
But she is from Texas. She's calling on Iowa Democrats to bring the FBI in to investigate Russian involvement in the malfunctioning of the vote reporting app that threw the first vote of the 2020 election season into disarray. The title of that from RT is Russians Did It. Democrat congresswoman finally says what Russia Gators have been thinking about Iowa caucus fail. It's all about Israel, folks, not Russia.
I'm 99.99% positive that she was one of these she's Black Congressional Caucus, and she was one of these people who on, what was it, January 6th, 2017, when they were counting the votes in Congress, when they were counting the electoral votes, that she was objecting to electoral votes because Russia.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you have it, folks. And actually, as I continue on down the Russians should have put her last name in an earlier stage of this article. It is Sheila Jackson Lee. So if we can get that corrected on the big board, we will. Any rate... nonetheless, Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat of Texas, has finally done what everyone knew the Democratic Party would do at this particular juncture. Do you want me to go through some of the items on the big board at this juncture before
Absolutely.
We step back into?
I can't
okay,
wait.
Okay, well, let's get into some other big board stories before we really zero in on the Iowa caucus, which is all about Pete Buttigieg. It's all about Shadow. What is Shadow? It's
is
a
Shadow?
Software program, and Shadow involves an organization called Acronym. And Shadow has a CEO whose name is Gerard Nimira, and the financier of Shadow is a guy named Seth Klarman with big-time connections to Israel and to things Israeli and to settler groups and to all of the other wonderful things that would indicate at this particular juncture, and Mark Dankoff is editorializing about this, of course, that in fact what we have in Iowa is an indication that the fix is in. The Russians have nothing to do with this. It's all about Israel. It's about AIPAC. It's about the war. And so in the war that Israel wants with Iran, utilizing the United States to carry all the heavy lifting.
So
this is what this is all about.
Okay, so there is a connection between Buttigieg and this app and this Israeli company?
Yes, and when we get into the whole business of this, I think we will read portions of Max Blumenthal Gray Zone article, which will bring into perspective just how significant a story this is and how asinine Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat, Texas, is in her call to bring the FBI in to investigate Russian involvement. Really be interesting to find out if Representative Sheila Jackson Lee actually has a brain or whether or not she has a lot of Israeli money coming her way. I have not researched her specifically, but it seems to me at this point that the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, where Mia up in Washington, ought to take a look at Sheila Jackson Lee more closely in terms of where her money is coming in her current reelection bid, because this absolutely smells that anybody could conceivably be this stupid. But let's go through the other issues here before we get back to Buttigieg and Shadow and Seth Klarman and acronym. War and foreign policy, the myth of the generous offer, distorting the Camp David negotiations. That is Seth Ackerman from FAIR. Putin grovels.
And by the way, that's from 2002. So that was more or less in real time that it was written.
Yes. Putin grovels in Israel about a Holocaust that never happened in front of a people who genocided the Russians, says Mike Walsh from Russia Insider. Here's a bombshell, folks, and I mean a really terrific article. We need to do an entire show on this particular article at some point. Ron Unz from Russia Insider, Bausman's publication, reports that Mossad's bloody trail of assassinations of leading Americans and others should infuriate you. That becomes a particularly interesting story in regard to the Israeli tampering, we believe, with the Iowa Democrat caucus in order to make sure that someone controlled by Israel is the Democrat nominee.
And I just want to say that isn't Buttigieg the recipient of more Jewish money than any other candidate?
That's absolutely a fact, folks. And if you don't believe that, research it. The Jewish Forward reports that Pete Buttigieg has been up to now the leading Democrat contender in terms of Jewish money coming his way. They apparently like his war policies for Israel. Being a queer doesn't hurt either in regard to the LGBTQ agenda of the majority of these American Jewish organizations. We will just say that up front. Some of the Sanders people listening to us tonight might not agree with us at that juncture, but that's fine. That's certainly what we would say here at National Bugle Radio. And by the way, folks, as I'm reading these headlines for our national audience today, take a look at nationalbugle.com for this big board, nationalbugle.com.
Yeah, which is also where you can get the Kosher-tified app.
That's right. Then we get into this whole business, folks, of a story that was the lead story in antiwar.com a day or two ago. Omar Karmi from Power Suits via Electronic Intifada writes, Trump's win-win plan hands everything to Israel. I agree with that. This deal of the century is a complete fraud. Pete Buttigieg, at the same time, getting ahead of myself here, has basically distanced himself, Middle East Eye tells us, from the notion that aid to Israel should be leveraged based upon Israel's attitude about the Palestinians and illegal settlements in the West Bank and so forth and so on. All of a sudden, Pete is not in favor of any of that just before the Iowa caucus. So here are a few other stories for us under foreign policy. Allison Weir of If Americans Knew reports that pro-Israel Secretary Steve Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States, is censoring the Iranian Fars News website. Steve doesn't like free expression of news, especially when it's not Israeli controlled, we believe. Mm-hmm. So there is your Trump pro-secretary, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
And alumni of Goldman Sachs, who was I think he was a partner at Goldman Sachs and then went off to Hollywood. Imagine a Jew who was both at Goldman Sachs and Hollywood. Where are you going to find that?
Well, that's right. You find them as your U.S. Treasury Secretary. And I believe Allison Weir's article goes into some of the particulars of Mnuchin's background. So take a look at that story. Jacob Heilbrunn from The New Republic has one for us, The Neocons Strike Back. Here's a terrible story that absolutely reveals what a nerdball Jared Kushner is. Bess Levine reports from Vanity Fair that Jared Kushner said that Palestinians have never done anything in their sad, pathetic lives. That is the architect.
Is that a quote, the sad, pathetic lives? They've never done anything. What's in that? Is that a direct quote? They've never done anything.
Yes, it's a direct quote.
Because I saw him being interviewed by Christiane Amanpour, who is I find rather loathsome as a rule. She's been a fixture on CNN for at least 25 years, 30 years. Since the first Gulf War, she was a fixture on CNN. And she's married to the Jew Jamie Rubin, who was the press secretary for Madeleine Albright when she was Secretary of State. So she's married to a Jew. But she's actually, I guess she has a British mother, who I don't think was Jewish, and a Iranian father, and was a little bit, she was throwing a little bit of objectivity at Jared Kushner in this interview, and with all due respect, was pointing out all of the absurd things he was saying, and Kushner was being, I mean, he wasn't quite as dismissive as that, but, you know, that they shouldn't squander yet another opportunity, and he was being very dismissive, and, you know, he is just a repulsive person to see on TV, and
well,
I guess we haven't seen him.
That that's who he is, in fact. He is a repulsive person, we must say.
Yeah.
So as we continue going on this whole business of foreign policy and get a few other stories before the break, Sergei Trichevich from Charles Bousman's Russia Insider has a major story there that is getting thousands of hits. U.S. policy of confronting Russia and China at the same time has backfired. The solution, says Trichevich, is to repair relations with Russia. Kelly Vallejos from the American Conservative says, is Trump offering Bibi the West Bank in his deal of the century? The answer is yes, along with everything else. And then finally, under war and foreign policy for this discussion anyway, Daniel McAdams from the Ron Paul Institute via Lou Rockwell gives us stumbling into catastrophe. The catastrophe that I argue we're going to get with Trump or if Buttigieg is the Democratic nominee. And that's a nice war with Iran and a global world war, I believe, on behalf of the usual greater Israel crowd. So keep an eye on that one. Immigration and demographics, we'll throw in one or two of those. Here's the one that I think is the most interesting, at least for tonight. Paul Joseph Watson from Summit News reports that a French intellectual was sentenced to 2 months in prison for calling mass immigration invasion. This gentleman's name is Renaud Camus. He also drew an €1,800 fine that was portioned out to certain so-called human rights organizations. Take a look under elections and politics, folks. We've already mentioned the Representative Sheila Jackson Lee's story, Democrat of Texas, saying that the Russians did it. They're the ones who screwed up the Iowa caucus. Thank you, Sheila Jackson Lee. We'll check your Israeli monies when we look at the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs to see if there's a money trail. If there isn't, you're certainly rather intellectually deficient. From heavy...
If there isn't, then she's a cheap whore.
Right. Well, yeah, I'll let you deal with that comment. But at any rate, yeah, that's right. If she's not getting a lot of money, then she's shilling for Israel for nothing. And I've always believed
maybe
that,
she's so. Shilling for crack. I don't know. I don't want to be that mean, but really, really, yes. Okay. Sorry.
It's like those of us here on this network who are shilling for Vladimir Putin and for Russia and for Iran. None of these people pay us any money.
No, we shill out of principle. Nothing. We shill out of principle.
That's right. Sheer principle, folks. We work for foreign governments for absolutely nothing. Anyway, we get back to the whole subject of Heavy. That source is called Heavy. Tells us a little bit more about Gerard Nimira, who is the CEO of this shadow software that was so instrumental in playing around with the results in the Iowa Democratic caucus that would appear to have heavily favored Pete Buttigieg in terms of the outcome of that vote, which is still pending. We are also told that this same individual, according to the U.S. Daily Mail, one Gerard Nimira of Shadow, CEO Shadow, says that he feels terrible. As a former Hillary Clinton campaign staffer, he feels terrible that his app and his coding blunders wreak havoc on the Iowa caucuses. He feels really terrible. The full results, says the UK Daily Mail, are still a mystery. I would imagine he's just torn up tonight. The Bernie Zone on Twitter tells us that Sanders did win in Iowa, after fair adjustments were made based upon what earlier was a botched vote based upon shadow. We posted that. They make a very, very interesting case based upon the latest numbers that, in fact, Bernie Sanders did win in Iowa. That still remains to be seen, I suppose, in terms of any outstanding vote total. Remains to be counted, but with all of these shadowy figures and shadowy Israeli software programs involved, it's difficult to determine the truth on any of this. So we shall see. Cynthia McKinney reports from Twitter that Jeffrey Epstein's bank account is still active. Somebody made a recent withdrawal. We're trying to find out who that is, but nonetheless, Cynthia backs this up with a YouTube video. And we posted the link to that YouTube video here at nationalbugle.com. Nice to know that even though Jeffrey Epstein is no longer with us, that his wonderful influence in the world continues. Vox has reported that Acronym is the dark money group behind the Iowa caucuses application meltdown. This Vox story tells us a little bit more about Acronym, which leads to Shadow, which leads to Nimira, which leads to Seth Klarman. And it all leads Sheila Jackson Lee, not to the Russians, but to Israel, where anybody ought to be able to see what's behind this and what is going on. We have Pete Buttigieg, who suddenly has become the Israeli War Party candidate, we believe, because the Israeli War Party has figured out they can't sell Pocahontas, they can't sell Joe Biden. Between his connections with the Burisma group in the Ukraine and his Chinese investment connections, and the fact that he can't remember his first name at this point, it seems to point up and toward one Pete Buttigieg. Ooh boy. Gary D. Barnett from Lou Rockwell, by the way, asks, is the Super Bowl event a reflection of today's American values? The answer is yes. Mark Dankoff on Twitter today. I got to Mitt Romney. I wrote Mitt a note on his impeachment vote and a reasonable rate of return. Mitt, of course, was very emotional before he voted against President Trump on this whole impeachment.
So he voted against. Did he vote to convict President Trump?
Yes, he did.
Even knowing that it wasn't going to. That's amazing. Even knowing that he was that Trump wasn't going to be convicted. He's going to remain in office.
Mitt did a great acting job there on CNN. He was tearful as he announced that his conscience was leading him to this and so forth and so on. I sent this to David Stockman in particular, knowing that he has the best diagnosis of Mitt Romney that's out there. But this also went to the Mitter himself, as well as to CNN's State of the Union. Which ran this tearjerker story on Mitt Romney and his conscience. And what I did was I posted a picture of Le Chief, the villain from the James Bond movie Casino Royale, and I also posted the Angel Moroni, keeping in mind that, of course, Mitt is a Mormon. And with those pictures, I sent this out to Mitt and to the CNN State of the Union, as well as to David Stockman, RBN, RT, Olga Dmitrieva over there at Sputnik, Press TV Iran, some of Bernie Sanders' people, including Bernie himself and to Tulsi Gabbard. And I basically said, you know, Mitt, I've heard from Le Chief and the Angel Moroni. They both tell me that the only thing you believe in is, quote, a reasonable rate of return, unquote. So there is what we think of Mitt Romney. Whatever you think of Donald Trump, folks, the fact of the matter is, if you're going to vote against him, there are some things you could charge him with. And probably get a legitimate conviction vote. But this Russiagate and Ukrainegate stuff is pure nonsense. We got 10 seconds before the break. Why don't we go ahead and take it? We'll come back and look at a gag headline that I put on our big board from Twitter.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. We'll be right back.
Driving down the highway with you nestled by my side, tasting your sweet perfume in the air. Heading for the turnoff that's known as hell.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
And we are back. So, was there something humorous from Twitter that we're missing?
Well, yes. I mean, basically on Twitter, we had a very, very significant post from one of the Syrian sources who posted a real picture of someone captured in Idlib province. And reference was made, of course, to this particular person as an obvious terrorist. And at this particular juncture, reference was made potentially to the real figures who were involved in running and supporting such terrorists as the one just captured at Idlib province. And I posted back on Twitter that this was, in fact, a picture of Pete Buttigieg, who was captured in Idlib province after the Iowa Democratic caucus. So this was running on Twitter, and I think a lot of people got a kick out of it. Now, here's one, folks. My letter to Jill Stein this morning was entitled "Iowa, Pete the Perv, the Democratic National Committee, and the Israeli link Shadow Software are all mighty queer business." And what I said to Jill Stein was this: Dr. Stein, Buttigieg, the DNC, and Israeli link shadow application, dot, 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 this is all very queer indeed. Personally, I said, I'd rather have the real Donald Trump — this is going directly to President Trump, folks — I'd rather have the real Donald Trump as a normal man between the sheets, leading America in Israeli-driven mass murder, rather than some perv. And this went to Pete Buttigieg, the DNC war room, the DNC, Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard, one of Tulsi's supporters, some of the Bernie bros out there got this. I sent it to Pat Buchanan and Ron Paul and Ron Unz. Sent it to our own RBN. I sent it to Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran. I sent it again to Olga Dmitrieva over there at Sputnik, Caleb Malpin at RT. And then I made sure that Iowa Caucus, Iowa Democratic Party, Iowa Republicans, Philip Giraldi, Allison Weir, two or three really great Middle Eastern sources, including Dr. Hanan Ashrawi, the very famous Palestinian activist. They all got copies of this. And this even went to some of these Iowa caucus pound operations, including Iowa Rigged, Iowa Screwjob, Iowa Dems, Iowa Caucus 2020, Iowa Gate, Iowa Fail. And then it went into some of the other usual people that we send this sort of thing out to. But I thought that this communication was only significant that we of all people would contact Dr. Stein to say, hey, you know, this guy Buttigieg, was this simply a question of a muffed software program? Or is it just a little bit more sinister than that?
Well, you know something? So Jill Stein, you know, she's there's good things you can say about her. There's bad things that you can say about her. One thing that really annoyed me was that in the wake of the November 2016 election, that she demanded a recount, and she had standing to do so. She demanded a recount of the votes in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, which were very close, and potentially they had enough electoral votes to throw the election to Hillary Clinton. So she challenged in those three states and, you know, raised money for the challenge. And she, within like 48 hours or something, had gotten, what was it, 7 million, 12 million. She got millions and millions of dollars from frantic Hillary supporters. And I know it was, very cynical. I know, you know, her campaign manager, her Pennsylvania manager, that they were all people who have a grudge against the Democratic Party. The Pennsylvania campaign manager had been actually, he had been a former Green Party senatorial candidate. He had been sued by, who's the senator there? I think, what's the guy's name? Not Toomey, but the other guy, Casey, Bob Casey, had sued him. Got him kicked off the ballot and sued him for $90,000 and, you know, put him into bankruptcy, basically. And so this was like a cynical attempt to raise money to get back at the Democrats because, you know, they didn't spend anything on the recount. They just kept the money. It was a scam. And if it's just a scam against the Democrats, it would be one thing, but it really got the ball rolling on the whole Russia hoax. That was instrumental because now you had, you know, recounts being demanded because of Russia, Russian interference in the elections. That was, it was a Russian hacking. We have to maintain integrity of the system. So I do have a bit of a chip on my shoulder against her that way. But when
I do too.
When I looked at her Twitter feed, I saw that somebody had replied to her with this picture of her sitting at a table in Moscow with General Flynn and Vladimir Putin, and, you know, had all the names there. And of course, I know the story behind that picture. That was a, I guess, a fundraiser, an award ceremony for RT. And Vladimir Putin just made a cameo appearance and sat down at that table, which is the lead table. I think the editor-in-chief of RT was at that table. And Vladimir Putin sat down there for about 10 minutes. He did not know who Flynn was. I'm sure he didn't know who Jill Stein was. Didn't know who they were. And the only reason those two were at the table was because Professor Stephen F. Cohen and his wife, Katrina Vandenhoevel, had been invited, but they had something else to do in Moscow that night. So Jill Stein and Flynn just filled in at the table. The whole thing was just, it was a big coincidence. But anyway, we're up on the break. We'll be right back.
You're feeling lonely. Anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You say you want me back again. That's the time.
We are back. You know, you mentioned that you'd prefer to have a straight guy like Donald Trump lead us into a horrible war rather than Buttigieg, a pervert. And, you know,
I think it's very important. I think it's very important that a war criminal be heterosexual. I have always felt that way. I mean, if you're going to start a world war for Zionist interests, I want a guy who has a nice-looking wife.
And he's got a nice-looking wife. I mean, did you see Melania, like, standing there, putting the Medal of Freedom on Rush Limbaugh? And, you know, she smiles. She's just beautiful. And then can you just imagine the American public going from Melania as first lady to the dude that Buttigieg gay married as first dude, first, you know, what's first partner?
Like, can you imagine Buttigieg appearing at AIPAC, folks, and all of a sudden, with all the cheering Zionist warmongers, we have a President Pete Buttigieg. And the announcer comes out and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and the first perv." I don't think that would really fly particularly well. So if we're going to have a war of mass murder a discretionary war to kill millions of innocent people potentially, and to do so for central banks and for Zionists. By the, I want a guy like Trump that knows Franklin Graham and John Hagee, that has these really greasy Pentecostal people putting their hands all over him and speaking in tongues, and I want him to have a great-looking wife. I've always felt that way.
Okay. Well, you know, and if we're going to have a 30-year-old first husband, how about Tulsi Gabbard's got a young husband. He's several years younger. They've known each other since they were kids.
Yes.
But she is maybe 6 or 7 years older. And you know, they seem so nice together. Have you ever seen sometimes when they're in the back of their campaign bus and they're driving from one place to another, he takes out the ukulele and they'll sing a song and they sing very nicely together in harmony. And they just seem like nice, really nice young people.
You know, it's interesting. Buttigieg's husband, is that what this guy?
Yeah, his name's Chasen or something
himself.
Like that.
I've heard that he plays the ukulele too, but he stopped playing after he was compared to Tiny Tim. That's what I've heard.
You know, Buttigieg is apparently a concert level pianist. I believe it. I mean, I think the dude, he seems like somebody who's probably really, really sharp, but he is up for sale. You know, and
yes.
He worked for McKinsey, and he was in, I guess, naval, you know, military intelligence with the Navy. And
naval intelligence.
I know,
guys. Pete Buttigieg.
Okay.
Anal intelligence with Pete Buttigieg. Anyway, let me read a few more of these stories, folks. We're trying to keep this on the up and up here. We want everyone, seriously now, folks. Max Blumenthal from the Gray Zone. This is, and we've got some great articles on here, including several from Allison Weir. But this Max Blumenthal thing from the Gray Zone is absolutely must reading. It really gives us an immediate analysis with a lot of data as to who this Seth Klarman guy is and what this whole business is of both shadow and acronym, the group that is behind the voting application shadow. Anyway, Max Blumenthal from the Gray Zone, that one's entitled Billionaire Pro-Israel Buttigieg Backer Seth Klarman Funds Group Behind Iowa's Disastrous Voting Application. Now, we sent this, or I sent this article to a lot of Bernie's people, as well as a lot of our colleagues on the alt-right, to say, here it is, folks. This is the story. This is what's really happening here. And what we are seeing is all kinds of election tampering that, once again, has nothing to do with Russia, has everything to do with Israel. The same Israel that gave us Jeffrey Epstein. The same Israel that gave us Harvey Weinstein. And the Times of Israel and our big board tells us that Harvey Weinstein is now saying that he hired the Israeli firm Black Cube, quote unquote, for days like this.
Mm-hmm.
In trouble for sexual harassment, got a lot of money, hire the Israeli firm Black Cube to keep tabs on all of your accusers.
Is that still from Max Blumenthal's article?
No, that is from the Times of Israel.
And I was just going to note, Max Blumenthal, he does a lot of great work. He's the son of Clinton functionary Sidney Blumenthal, you know, a Jewish Zionist lawyer. And, you know, there's the adage that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, I'll tell you something. The Blumenthal family, well, wherever it fell from the tree, as soon as it hit the ground, it got the hell out of there.
Yes. Very fascinating, isn't it, that Max Blumenthal is giving us this kind of very fine journalism from the Gray Zone. Allison Weir tells us from SOT.net that billionaire Seth Klarman, the same guy that Blumenthal is telling us about, is a donor to Israeli causes. He's also one of the largest holders of Puerto Rican debt. That is yet another angle on this whole story of billionaire Seth Klarman and the whole issue of why he is involved with this acronym organization, this Israeli link shadow voting application, and the whole business of the convenient beneficiary of the Iowa Democratic Caucus debacle, which is one Pete Buttigieg, who just conveniently happens to be, according to the Jewish Forward, the individual with the most Jewish money thus far in the Democratic primary sweepstakes. And of course, as we've already mentioned, from the Middle East Eye, Pete Buttigieg has backtracked on his pledge to leverage aid to Israel. Here was my editorial at our nationalbugle.com page. Pete the Perv Buttigieg shows how to win in Iowa the old-fashioned way. More Jewish money than any other contender. Give Israel anything it wants and have a kosher fixer in place, Seth Klarman. And there I also list the same link that has its own listing in its own title, and that's the Max Blumenthal piece from the Gray Zone. Allison Weir, go ahead.
I was going to say, so Pete Buttigieg, it wasn't just like some giant swell of grassroots support for this plucky young mayor from South Bend?
Yes. That's exactly right. And it's quite fascinating to see. I know my late father would have been relieved that Pete Buttigieg did not carry my dad's home county of Fremont County in Iowa. But anyway, I think they went for Amy Klobuchar as I was looking at the preliminary results. But I know in Fremont County, Iowa, who knows now? I know demographics change things, but in all the years that my parents were alive and my mother's still living, I think they had three Democrats in the whole county. But at any rate, we get back to this whole question of Allison Weir of If Americans Knew. She writes very, very well about the oligarch behind the World Holocaust Forum. Now, keep this in mind, folks, with all this talk about Russia, all this talk about Israel and Iowa and Buttigieg and Seth Klarman and Shadow and acronym and so forth and so on, and Harvey Weinstein with his Israeli firm Black Cube. We've already talked about Epstein's connections with the Mossad. Much of that information has come to us from Philip Giraldi, of course, and Whitney Webb at Mint Press News. But think of two more here. In this story, The Oligarch Behind the World Holocaust Forum, Allison Weir tells us that this event is the brainchild of Vyacheslav Moshe Kantor, a Russian-Israeli oligarch known for quote-unquote unscrupulous business dealings, who made his money during the massive plunder of Russian resources that left many ordinary Russian citizens in misery. Kantor is the president of the European Jewish Congress and multiple other international entities. This is now his fifth Holocaust Forum. Folks, if you're following all the links that Max Blumenthal gives us in the Gray Zone, all of the links that Vox gives us on this acronym organization, if you're reading the Weinstein story on the Israeli firm Black Cube helping old Harvey out, and you're taking a look at what Allison Weir is now showing us about the oligarch behind the World Holocaust Forum, you could start getting a little bit paranoid. Paranoid if you add two more stories. We will just mention those and then kick around some ideas from the Blumenthal piece. The Times of Israel reports, and we've mentioned that one, that Weinstein hired Black Cube. But here's another one for you. Press Television Iran reports that the FBI is probing a possible Israeli role in American hacking. NSO Group and Pegasus Software. Add that to the list of things that we need to continue our research with, especially since that outfit and that software was, among many other things, linked to the Khashoggi assassination that was obviously commissioned by the Saudi regime. Here's one other one, and then we'll stop and just kick around some stuff here for the remainder of the show. UK Ambassador Craig Murray gives us this one via Lou Rockwell. Thank folks in relationship to all of the garbage about Russiagate and Hillary Clinton and morons like Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat Texas, that believe that there is a Russian link to what just happened in the Iowa Democratic Caucus. Take a look at UK Ambassador Craig Murray's piece, "The FBI is Lying About Seth Rich, 185. The FBI is Lying About Seth Rich. Add that one to these other stories that we are speaking about here, and I think you'll begin to see that the real problem that we have in this country with media, with banking, with elections, with national security agencies and with the military establishment of the United States and all the rest of it, gets back to one predominant entity, and that is the Zionist beast. And here's one other one, folks. This one has implications for what I told the Sanders people today when I was promoting the idea that they ought to take a closer look at Tulsi Gabbard as a potential running mate. Seth Harp from Rolling Stone gives us this one, folks. Think about this one. Bernie Sanders leads Donald Trump and all 2020 Democrat candidates in contributions from active duty military troops.
Bernie Sanders.
What's
does.
Being said there? Bernie Sanders, folks. That comes to us from Seth Harp of Rolling Stone. And are we beginning to believe that, in fact, the Democratic establishment, which is as pro-Zionist and pro-war and anti-Iran and anti-Putin as one can get, are we led to believe that they, in fact, have commissioned Buttigieg as the only candidate that can overcome the deficiencies of Warren and Biden in terms of leading this country into a Democrat-approved Zionist World War III? That may sound extreme, but when you get back to Max Blumenthal from the Gray Zone, it really makes you wonder.
So, of course, here's the thing. You've got President Trump, and I say he's been successfully Jew d'etat. Now, he's coming out of the impeachment. The impeachment looked like a giant farce, and apparently his approval ratings are just about higher than ever. Maybe there was a brief period of time in 2017 where they might have been a little higher, but he's looking stronger in terms of being reelected than before. And when you get down to it, although Buttigieg is very smart, I think he's very smart, and he speaks well. He's still like gay, and regardless of what middle class white people think about that, a lot of blacks aren't. They're going to stay home, or might even some black men might even go out and vote for Trump. I mean, does he really have much of a chance of being elected? And you know, when I look back at the Soleimani assassination. So Trump ordered it. Of course, we know he was pressured
into a crime.
It's a horrible crime. We know he was pressured into it for months and months from the foreign policy establishment, and we know he
no did impeachment
it.
Charges on that one, right?
No,
folks?
No, there certainly weren't, and we know that he felt that kind of like, well, facing impeachment that he wanted to have the backing of Republican senators. Apparently, you know, there's the Wall Street Journal reported that he said that to people around him, that he's feels he needs the support of Republican senators. And how are you going to do it? You're going to go assassinate an Iranian general. And so the thing is, the Israel crowd got exactly what they wanted, and they didn't get any blame for it. It's all going to be blamed on Trump, and, you know, it's going to be blamed maybe on his Christian Zionist backers or whatever, his evangelical backers. But it's not getting blamed on them. They got what they wanted, and they're not getting blamed for it. And so Trump is kind of like becoming very useful to them because he's been completely neutered, and they're getting what they want, and they get what they want, but then Trump gets blamed for it because the people don't want that. The people don't want war. The people don't want mass immigration. The people don't want a lot of things, but Trump gets blamed for the people don't want the deal of the century, but Trump can get blamed for it. And you know, if he gets reelected, they're going to get more of the same. And he can pretend he's building a wall, but he's not. He can pretend he's deporting all these criminals, but he doesn't seem to be. I mean, maybe they'd prefer to have Buttigieg because maybe Trump will eventually learn how to govern, or maybe he's given up on it. So I don't know. That's kind of my reaction to it. I don't know. I think they're in kind of a win-win situation if they get if we have a general election that's Trump versus Buttigieg. But what about that? And what about a Trump versus Sanders election in terms of what the Zionist establishment wants?
Well, my reading of it at this point, based upon how early they have tipped their hand in regard to what we believe is the significance of what happened in the Iowa Democratic caucus with Seth Klarman and Acronym and Shadow. You know, if I'm reading this correctly, and I maybe I'm not, but if I'm reading this correctly, what we are beginning to see is that the Zionists, and their, of course, overwhelming, significant contributions to the Democratic power structure and to money in the Democratic Party, they are very nervous about Sanders. And when you watch some of the statements of John Kerry talking about how Sanders would ruin the Democratic Party, it seems to me that what we have, and the obvious animosity toward Sanders on the part of Hillary Clinton, who says that nobody likes Sanders. Somebody likes him, folks, when you look at how well he's been doing these last few years. What we have, I believe, is a situation where the Zionist War Party can't sell Clinton, obviously, thank God. Mm-hmm. They can't sell Biden, mm-hmm. Who is descending into senility, or Warren. It seems to me that they're tipping their hand that Buttigieg is there one alternative to a Sanders candidacy, and God forbid, from their point of view, a Sanders-Gabbard ticket.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going off to the break. When we come back, I want to ask you about Mike Bloomberg.
The skies are dark and gray. For a week now, it's been raining.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future. And we're back. So we got Buttigieg, I'm not used to saying it, Buttigieg is just easier to say, who is emerging as the establishment favorite right now. But you remember 1976, and the establishment in the Democratic Party wanted to stop Wallace. And initially, Jimmy
Carter... That was 72 with Wallace.
Well, 72, and with 72, he got shot, and they wanted to stop him then. But then in 76, he ran again, and, you know, he...
And they had to come up with a white Southern governor who wasn't George Wallace.
Right, so Jimmy Carter. So people like Birch Bayh, for sure, I think Mo Udall, others were stepping out of the way in the southern states to so that Carter could go one-on-one against Wallace. But then when Carter started to get a role, they started saying, well, maybe we don't want him. And so you had late entries into the race by Jerry Brown and Frank Church, but it was too late. So here we've got this situation where, you know, Buttigieg, could he really win? Can he stop Sanders? And so you've got Bloomberg with 10 times as much money, literally 10 times as much money as Donald Trump, and is what's going to happen? He's skipping these first primaries, but he's going to you know, come out full throttle on Super Tuesday. What's going to happen there? And what do they think of him?
That
what does the establishment
Super
think of him?
Super Tuesday is, of course, March the 3rd, which is my late father's birthday. Ironically enough, my dad, had he lived, would be 100 years old this March 3rd. Mm. But in terms of Super Tuesday, you have introduced, Dr. Slattery, the key wild card in this entire thing, and that's Mike Bloomberg. I can only say this. I have a source in a significant place in the Democratic Party that I cannot reveal, who has told me that he believes that Mike Bloomberg will be the nominee. Now, I don't know how to assess that except to say that at this juncture, Bloomberg obviously has looked at this whole situation and has determined that none of these people in his mind are going to fly as the nominee. And it may be that Mike Bloomberg, in terms of money, that's going to be no problem running for president. Bloomberg is Jewish. Bloomberg, I suspect, makes Wall Street extremely comfortable. He certainly makes the Israeli lobby extremely comfortable. And just let's be politically correct for a moment, folks. In this day, or politically incorrect, I should say, in this day and age, when everyone wants to be a liberal in this whole issue of homosexuality and gay marriage and all the rest of it, except for those of us here at RBN, the fact is Bloomberg is not known to be a homosexual. And it may be that Bloomberg would give the bankers and Wall Street and the Israeli lobby and the armaments manufacturers everything that they so desire without raising the serious issue of whether or not at this stage of history, even at this stage of history, the United States is ready for an openly homosexual president. So this may be the take on this. I think we'll know on the 3rd of March. I believe that Bloomberg is banking that his advertising money on TV – and he will be blitzing it in that regard and up to the 3rd of March, that he could, amazingly enough, after all is said and done, if he pulls some stunning results on the 3rd of March, he could well nigh upstage what right now would apparently be the tribe's early betting, and that is on Buttigieg, although in this particular case, maybe ultimately Buttigieg is just too culturally Marxist even for contemporary America's liking. Mm-hmm. And maybe Bloomberg will sneak in there, but we'll have to watch that. That's going to be the significant wild card, I believe, in this whole thing.
Well, that's right. And, you know, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, these first four states, they pale in comparison to the Super Tuesday states in terms of delegates. So if Bloomberg does well on Super Tuesday, and he's already saturating the airwaves in California and these other states, he could emerge on March 4th as way out in front. He could have an insurmountable lead on March 4th all of a sudden. But we'll see.
Yes. Hey. So that's the $64,000 question.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, we're out of time, but we'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.